Bam Erickson with AfterBuzz TV for Power. Cornelia, guess who in the building?
Who's here?
I don't know. You guys have to check it out. DJ, drop it. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Doesn't that feel good to you?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't that feel familiar to you?
I know that song.
Yeah. Hey, what's up? Bam Erickson here with AfterBuzz TV for Season 3 Power, which is the best show on TV. I'm Bam Erickson. You can catch me on all social media at Bam Erickson.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Cornelia.
And everybody, I am your girl, Robin Ayers, and I am so happy that we have our special guest here today. You guys know him as Cantos. We know him as Adam. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here. Hello, Power fans.
Yeah.
You know what's so crazy? When I was researching and looking you up, Cantos is your last name. Your first name character's name is, I think, Josh.
Right.
Oh, interesting. That's a fun fact for you.
I was like, oh, damn.
It was like Madonna, like Cantos.
I thought your first name was Cantos, and No,
Joshua Cantos with a K, which is another thing some people get wrong, is a C.
Very interesting.
So, last week, you were kicked out of Club Truth.
Yes.
And in a very embarrassing way. And so, I know you can't say anything, but I think it's safe to assume that being that one of the scenes in episode one is where you were with what we call Creepy Greg, there was this connection, and now that you're gone, I think majority feels that you will be back. What do you guys think? Because I know you can't.
Oh, definitely. I think I said that too. Cantos can't be gone.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, we had some ideas that he was probably going to be trying to do some things, maybe even get back at Ghost. We don't know. I mean, don't let your facial expressions let us know. Yeah. I'm just playing. Cornelia, what do you think?
I agree. There has to be closure. You can't. The thing about this show, people just don't leave and leave forever without having closure or tying up the bow. So Cantos has to come back. Your character has to come back.
And I think I made a joke. I was like, you know, the way this show is set up, like, people either get killed off or something.
You either leave with a bullet or you...
You can't just walk. Leave.
Do you think your character really expected to come back and just have your position at Club Truth and just things would be hunky-dory after Cantos' character was such a jerk to Jamie, because you all of a sudden had the power, which is the name of the show. You, in season two, you had the power over him, and so now that you've lost it, do you think you deserve to be kicked out, or do you think you should have got another chance?
Well, there was like two parts to that question. The first thing you asked, did Josh feel that he was going to be kicked out? And I think he knew he was on shaky ground for sure. I think as the season progressed last year, there was like he sort of was teetering, you know. I'd read the scripts and I'd be like, okay, he's gonna come around. Gonna come around. So it was like, for me, it was discovering that too. Where does my loyalty lie? And I found that in around mid-season, it was like, okay, Josh is power hungry. That's the theme of this show. So, of course, Stern's given him the golden goose, so he's going to side with Stern, you know? Mm-hmm. And I saw that coming, even though he would be like, okay, give James an inch. Then towards the end, I thought, okay, this is going to go one way or another. And, you know, it's interesting. When we came back, did I know that did Josh know he was going to get fired? No. But he probably thought this could definitely be happening. So let me try to show my best here. I think he did in the first scene. He's showing like, how can he get back in his good graces? He's back to that nervous first season Josh, you know? Mm-hmm. And then thinks he's sticking up for him with the Creepy Greg moment and thinks, oh, that'll get me. Now I just got to tell him about it. But before he even gets to tell him, he's gone.
He's out.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Interesting. You know the pattern that I noticed and I got to probably think a little bit more in depth about it as well. But we noticed with Ghost, he had all this power at the beginning of the first season, second season. Then he lost his power, right? Mm-hmm. And now he's on the upward trajectory, I guess, back to getting his power again. Mm-hmm. And then Cantos experienced this power that he had, you know, and then he lost it with being kicked out. And so I wonder if there's going to be an upward trajectory for him as well.
Well,
Interesting.
I know you can't say anything, like, but I just want to say that I think that why you and Creepy Greg, why Kantos' character and Creepy Greg will bond, because you guys have a mission which works together. Greg's mission is to take Angela down. Your mission, I'm sorry, Kantos' mission is to take Ghost down.
Yeah.
So it seems like rocket science that the two of you are going to work together and bond in order to take them down. You don't have nothing else to do.
Yeah. Well, I like that theory.
Yeah. And possibly, again, we don't know. We're just viewing it. But they revealed that Kantos has a creepy past. They actually said what it was. It alluded to prostitution, or he was like selling girls out the club.
Exactly.
So maybe,
now it's Creepy Kantos, Creepy Greg.
Right, it's Nasty right. Kantos. Nasty Kantos. That's Greg. So it seems like Kantos isn't going to have a choice, because if he's involved in the prostitution, he has to save his own ass. Yeah. So maybe he won't have a choice.
Yeah. And speaking of girls, there's a Twitter question from Nicole Carter at NWATRCI. She wants to know, will you and Dominique start dating?
When?
Oh, not. Oh, did you say when?
Wait, what did she say?
She said, "Oh, will you and she says, will you and Dominique start dating?"
Oh, will we?
Okay. Well,
you know, there was that moment, season two, where I noticed her hair, looked at her legs, you know, whatever that one moment was.
Love that.
She sat at my desk. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that'd be nice.
Okay.
She's a nice young lady.
I agree.
Yeah.
Now let's go further into the episode.
Kelsey, so, I really love her. Kelsey.
Oh, sweet, her name's Kelsey?
Yeah.
Hey, Kelsey. going further into last night's episode. So now let's go into the Mike, the Angela, the Cooper storyline. So what I thought was interesting is when Angie was speaking to Mike regarding trying to get the files from the different states so that she can investigate, Nosy Cooper says to her,
love all the names. It's awesome.
You know, why is Angie talking to you outside of the group? And Sandoval goes, well, you don't seem to be sharing any information either, which makes me started to think, you know, with him then, with Cooper changing the topic, I wonder if Mike Sandoval either knows that Cooper is up to something, or do you think that he's kind of watching him on the low, like he's kind of doing everybody else?
Well, Mike at this point has to watch everybody,
right?
In a sense, because if anybody gets too close, that's Mike's ass.
Mm-hmm.
So he needs to watch Angela. He needs to watch Cooper. He needs to derail both of their plans. And we'll get to that later about, you know, Cooper telling Mike the information and then coming to the jail and finding out that the person was dead. So, you know, I don't think Mike, I think everything with Mike is intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it's either your life or someone else's life, you're going to choose your own life. I'm sorry. Especially when it's between you, Cooper, and Angela.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I felt like he just was hoping that he would not find out information, you know, thinking, oh, he'll never find this guy. And then he did. Which was, I think everyone writes off him at Cooper as like just a blowhard, you know?
Hmm.
But he's showing that he's smarter and harder working than we think.
Yeah, I agree.
And going, speaking of Mike Sandoval, I felt like last night's episode is where he got to the point where he's too in the middle of everything. Like, you can feel, I'm sorry, I think he's going to die.
So Bam kills somebody every after show.
But who's going down?
I think Mike. I think there's multiple deaths, but
Bam has killed five people.
But between
two episodes.
But between the fact of the other guy who confronted him saying that you either take care of the situation with Cooper or it's your ass, like I feel like Mike feels the wrath. And it's hard. It's like, you know, you're the position that you're in, and then you're playing both sides. I think he's dead. I think he's gone.
I guess it is a fun game to play, huh? Who's gonna go?
Who's gonna go? And he's been right, I think, a time or two. Yeah, right.
Really?
Okay.
Well,
yeah. Good.
Any other?
Well, the question is, when do you think he'll go?
That's ooh, taking it up a notch.
Yeah. I think he will go between episodes 7 and 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're giving it a while. Okay, okay.
It has to be a while only because of what we saw in the previews for next week. I think that... Did y'all see the previews? Okay. So
yes.
With Kanan potentially coming back,
right.
It could be a dream. I'm just saying.
Right,
could be
right.
a dream.
You're right.
If he's actually coming back, I think that's going to be the focus of next week's episode. So you got to give that time, if in fact.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Agreed. I mean, and then there's always got to be something toward the end, right? I mean, it's got to be some like, ooh, it's getting good. So you might be right about that, like seven or eight.
Some other stuff is going to happen toward
the
end.
Oh, definitely.
But we're going to go into that. It's coming. What were you guys' thoughts about Ghost and his lawyer, Proctor? I felt, at times, I felt like Proctor was a little too nosy. There was something about his spirit that I felt like he was, I don't want to say creepy, but I felt an energy, a spirit about Proctor.
Well, I feel like something happened. There was a transition. Mm-hmm. Remember, they had their very first conversation when he was like, well, what's up? How come we couldn't talk about this in person?
Right.
Then the second time that they got together, something did happen. I feel like something behind the scenes that we don't know about that will, I'm sure, be revealed later. But he had some sort of, I don't know, what did you call it? I don't know if...
Spirit energy.
Something
to prove, right? He was like really trying to drive home, like, no, watch how good I am.
Yeah.
Watch, this is how good I am, trust me.
And trying to, you know, get him to reveal whether if he killed Cantos or Lobos or not.
But again, if that's the case and he's working with somebody or he has some shady ulterior motive, that's going to be on Ghost, a.k.a. Jamie, or James is the club owner. So that's going to be on James. Because as someone who used to be a street dude 2 weeks ago and now you are dealing with these attorneys, he needs to do a better job of spotting this out. So if this guy is dirty, then that's going to be on him for revealing too much information or letting him in too soon. Or even dealing with him in the first place. So maybe that has to happen. I'm kind of hoping he is shady.
Me too. And
like
there,
I am.
There was something that he said that made me have another prediction. He said to him, he says, you may have to decide on protecting your girl or saving your own life. Mm-hmm. That moment with the dramatic music was like a sign for me to say, okay, that's something to foretell that's going to happen, you know, later down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I like, though? Because, you know, we've been talking about, I mean, what, all season? Mm-hmm. Last week? How Jamie versus Ghost and the I guess maybe even personality traits that he has, like each character has. He's a little bit more of Ghost when he's dealing with Proctor. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? So I feel like he can detect scandal or, you know, dirtiness or spirits or whatever. I feel like Ghost is up on game like that. Jamie, not so much. But I feel like he's a little bit of Ghost when he's dealing with Proctor.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
A little dash of Ghost in there. Mm-hmm. Because he does try to keep it separate in the club, even though they're in the club having that conversation. We've seen that before with with Tommy in the club or whatever.
Yeah.
So you're right. There is sort of that little piece of that. Yeah.
And he's still being a little bit secretive. He's, you know, because Jamie, I feel like, puts everything on the table. He's being as honest as he can, but Ghost still has some secrets. He's still doing a little bit of dirt, and Ghost does want to get out. But, you know, he switches up his personality. It's kind of interesting. Yeah.
Speaking of Ghost now, what do you guys think about the fact that Ghost now wants his children to meet Angie?
Mm. I thought those were great scenes.
Like, it was such a good scene.
I think they were great scenes, but one thing I have to say before I drag this storyline is Tasha is really a good woman.
She's not bitter.
She's not the angry mom. You know, if her husband wants this to happen, she's like, okay, I'm fine. If this is what you want, so be it. And so she's willing. She goes to Angela's house to vet. What do you guys think? Do you guys think this is a good idea for the children to meet Angela?
What happened to meeting the other woman for the first time at like Applebee's or something? Like, what happened to getting ice cream?
Like right away sleepover.
She's like, you want to spend the night? And they're like, sure. How did we get here?
Because like, my thing, I said... The Reina says, you know, well, why can't we just meet her? Why do we have to sleep over? And I thought to myself, okay, can't y'all go to Chuck E. Cheese? Y'all go to Six Flags, Disneyland, like spend the night.
We skipped right to plastic protectors on the corners of the coffee table.
With a potty, I had a potty seat. Like,
here are my thoughts on this whole thing.
That was funny.
I think Tasha has something up her sleeve. That's just what I think. She is too much of a G for her to be like, yeah, cool. Like, let's, yeah, let me go. You know, I think she's got something up her sleeve. And she even said something to Angela when she was leaving the house. And she was like, you wanted that. She said, you wanted him. You got, or you wanted him. You wanted them too.
Right. Maybe hoping, can she handle this?
Yeah, she's exactly,
she can't handle it all.
So even just that remark says something to me. But let me just speak on the whole situation with the kids coming over and everything. This is how I know Jamie. This is how I know Jamie is ultimately not really into this whole thing with Angela. This is just a Robin perspective.
Okay.
The way, if a man loves his woman and she walks into this house and he has the kids, he's like, okay, kids, come here. I want you to meet my lady. I want you to meet Angela. And you introduce them. No, Angie came into her own house and she's like, hi, guys. Hi, Tariq. Hi. And he's like, yeah, and this is the little one here. I mean, he didn't do much of like pumping her up. And any man who's going to try to make this work with his kids is going to pump her up. Is going to edify her. Right. OK, that's number one. Mm. Number two, when Tariq made that little smart remark about the TV, he didn't even bang back. Jamie did not bang back. He just let that ride. And then like, there's no way my kid is going to be disrespectful to my new, you know, spouse or whatever. So no way. That's how I know. I mean, I'm just speaking from a woman's standpoint.
Yeah, no, I agree. From my perspective, though, we know Jamie, to me, Angie and Jamie are those 15-year-old kids that met in high school. Mm-hmm. They're stuck into this idea of what we could have had and we're trying to build. To me, it should have been on both of them. As Angie, I don't want your children to sleep over this soon. I want to get to know them. I want us to start off, let's get ice cream, and then let's go to the movies, and then let me hang out with them on my own, and then let me do this, and then they can spend a night. But for her to go along with it and ghost to recommend it and they act like this is just normal, to me, it was just odd.
Yeah, I agree.
It was too odd.
And I have a couple. What do you think before I say what I say?
I love the scenes. I love Notori Naughton and Lila. They're such great actresses. And that scene where she came over, I thought, wow, yeah, Tasha's really stepping it up because I did not expect that from her.
Yeah.
But I think she said to
Keisha.
She said to Keisha in the weave shop. She said, "I'm kind of done. When's your ring? I'm done. Yeah. You know." So I think it's her way of being like, "I am done. You want out? Fine. I want out." You know. So. Yeah, them sleeping over is very, very fast to me. But I kind of like how they're doing it. Like, you know, some shows dance around it or they don't get them together. They break up. They're, like, together and they're doing. They're, like, making this step forward. And I think it's great TV. I think it's great for the story.
So. I think it's – I absolutely think it's great TV. I don't think, like you said, Robin, I don't think they fully went into the situation prepared. You know, when Tariq was asking questions, well, so you guys met before mom, and they tried to avoid the topic.
Yeah.
You know, like, kids are going to ask a million questions, so they weren't prepared for that, as well as, what the fuck was Ghost thinking about leaving the house with Angie, with the kids for the first time?
Yeah.
What the hell were you thinking?
But that's Ghost, right? That's the Ghost part, right? Yes. He's always going to have that side phone call, that side thing that he has to go take care of.
Yeah. I completely agree. Can we talk really fast about just the name of the show, which was It's Not Over?
Yeah.
When Raina, her daughter, or their daughter, asked, do you still love dad? Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, baby, we're family and daddy and all that. And she said, it's never over. That's where it came from.
Yeah.
Can y'all, I mean, so this is why I'm putting two and two together I mean, even if Tasha doesn't have something up her sleeve per se, it's not over.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? I think it's much deeper.
But it's never over when you are having a chat with someone. That is a lifetime investment. It's never over.
I agree with that, but I don't think she meant it like that.
Okay.
My perspective is Ghost belongs with Tasha. Jamie belongs with Angie. As long as Ghost is walking this line of who he wants to be between Ghost and Jamie, he's always going to walk the line between those two. If he picks selling dope and going back to the streets, he has to be with Tasha. If he picks the straight and narrow, he has to be with Angie. So I don't know about y'all, but Ghost is going to go back to selling drugs. I think he enjoys that life.
I agree with you.
He has to be with Tasha because they match. That's who she married and he married her. For that reason.
In a way, like, because I know Courtney A. Kemp said on some of the stuff on Twitter I was reading how she mirrored the beginning of the first episode ever with Tasha walking mm-hmm. to the club, with Angie mm-hmm. walking yeah. to the club, she sure right? did. Yeah. Which is really cool.
Yeah.
And in a way, maybe I'm stretching here, but I see a little bit of mirroring going on with him in the house, leaving her, getting that side, like he did that to Tasha all the time, mm. that side secret phone call and leaving. Yeah, it was for Angie. This time it was to meet Tommy. Mm-hmm. But still, there she was, left with the kids. And then he comes in at the end and she's laying in bed and she's pretending she's sleeping. And I think Tasha did that once or twice.
Yeah. She is. Yes. And I was going to say, what did you guys think about that? The fact that she was laying in bed pretending to be asleep? I felt like that meant something.
Well, to me, I just took it as it's a lot to process. You yeah. decide one day that you want this life with this man who you thought he was, and now you know he is Ghost. He's not just Jamie. Now his kids are in the living room. It's like a double life. Is this something she really wants? You're not gonna sleep.
Yeah.
You have your man's family. Go?
Somebody got yeah. stabbed. Something happened to.
Yeah.
I think there was.
Yeah. Work.
It's a lot. She's processing a lot.
And then two things before we move on. I felt like Ghost should have warned Angie. Hey, the kids are going to be over. She didn't have time to hide sex toys, the porn. Like, she'd had no time to come in and gather her thoughts.
They don't need sex toys and porn. They're always doing it.
I'm just saying, like, she had no time, at which obviously, you know, Tariq found the gun.
Yeah, he could have texted her. They're always texting.
Go ahead.
Well, maybe, but they had to get there somehow, so maybe Tasha has something to do with it. So as a mom, you're not going to be prepared for the kids to come home when you want. So mm-hmm. I like that she came in and she didn't know that was going to happen, because that's going to be every day, boo-boo. Every yeah. day you're going to come in yeah. and you're not going to know what to expect.
Yeah.
You got a potty train, yes, and then that's Tariq right. is in the closet acting crazy.
Okay.
But so, that did tie into what you said about how, like, you know, she came in instead of, hey, this is my kids. It yeah. was like, yeah, we're here. We're sitting at the table.
yeah.
And she was just like, nobody okay. talk. It yeah. was, it was a really weird moment. She almost had no control. I don't know if it was he did it on purpose or not, but she had no control in that moment. You yeah. know, she couldn't control the situation. It was just like, here they are,
yeah.
sitting the table.
So drastic, the difference between Jamie and Ghost. And I thought it was very interesting. I don't know if you guys picked up on that scene when Tasha went to go visit. And Angie called him Jamie and Tasha called him Ghost. You know, it's so interesting how they both see him.
Yeah.
I just pick up on those little things. I'm sure yeah. you guys caught that too. I mean, mm-hmm. just so interesting.
Yeah.
Let's go into Tasha and Ghost before we go into kind of the meat and potatoes.
We're going to get to Tariq. We're going to double back?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
well, actually, no. Go ahead.
Speak on
Tariq.
Tariq need a whooping. He needs to be stopped.
Yes, he did.
He needs a whooping.
Wait, what is... Read number four.
Tariq needs his ass whooping because the ass was gone.
That's in my notes.
I love that.
Tariq needs a whooping.
Yes,
First of all, why are you going through somebody's stuff?
Yes.
Why
you know
are you
what?
In my closet?
I thought about that, but you remember, he is going into the situation not liking this, so he's probably going into the room to see what he can go and tell his mom.
Tariq is a troubled teen. I don't care. You're in my closet?
You actually said that. You said that you think that Tariq is going to, like, somewhere down the line, he's going to be, like, the guy, like, the troublemaker or something like that.
He is the wild card.
I swear,
I really think Tariq is the wild card. He goes into the room, goes through her closet, opens. Like, it was like Fatal Attraction. He took the bag down, and the way he was holding the gun, I was like, oh, Lord, he did.
Do you guys see any similarities between, you know, Cinqua Walls' character and
Sean
and his dad, you know, Kanan, and now what's happening?
Oh, good
with,
point. That's really good.
You know, like yeah. sort of.
That's true. When you try to keep your son away from your life this whole time, and then they find a way back to it eventually yeah. without your help and guidance.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
I thought about that when he was holding the gun. That it went across my mind, especially because he and Sean were so close.
Oh. Yeah,
you know, getting close. Yeah.
Wow, that's good.
No.
Thanks.
He is nuts. Tariq is nuts.
He's I can't believe how much he grew.
And I was gonna say because when I didn't know that was him in Barbershop, I was like, damn, that boy got tall.
Yeah.
And by season five, that boy gonna be like 6 feet tall.
I know.
Okay, so Tasha and Ghost. So do you think Tasha should have done the favor by going to deliver the check, or do you think she should have gave him the finger and been like, do it yourself?
Personally, she has her own relationship with Tommy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I feel like that is the thing coming into play. They actually looked at each other like a brother and sister at some mm-hmm. point. So, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, if she, especially remember, she didn't think that they had issues. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, she didn't know it was as deep
yeah.
as what, you know, obviously had come out. But I think it was not a big deal.
Yeah, okay. And then we went and got that great scene in the diner between
her. Oh, such yeah. a great scene.
Such a great scene. And I love Joe Sikora, Tommy's, you know, breakdown by the end of like, this is my family, you know, yeah. like, and to see him. I loved it. Yeah. I love that. Great actor as mm-hmm. well.
So speaking of Tommy, let's go to the Tommy, Holly, and so forth. One of the first things in my notes is, why is she so damn nosy? Holly, he's on the phone. Who are you talking to?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think everybody on Twitter, social media, everybody sees Holly as trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I just completely. The money situation.
Bothered me so much.
Why did
so
it bother much. You?
You know, Holly just needs to sit still. It's like she has something up her sleeve. Like she's, I don't know, she's just trying too hard, trying to do too much. She bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
But that means she's doing a great job with her acting or whatever. But I mean, her role just really bothers me. It's like her not obeying, you know, he's like, I got this, I'll take care of it. And then you being sneaky, taking the check behind his back, yeah, that type of thing. I'm like,
I wonder
well,
how that
really
went down. Because did he go like, did he look for that check? Like,
yeah, when, like afterwards, yeah. the yeah. fallout.
I wonder about that too. But then also, just to play devil's advocate, he's also lying too, because he didn't tell her that the dog was dead. Although yeah. I can justify, but you know, they're both lying. So
yeah, definitely.
Well, yeah, and that's why by the end, right, they both said yeah. each other, no more lies. We gotta yeah. be honest with each other. But
I think the difference is though. Mm-hmm. Maybe I ride for Tommy. I love Tommy. shout out Joe Sikora. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. We always knew Tommy was off the chain. Holly knew Tommy was off the chain, but she kind of came in there like. She was just not goody two shoe. I mean, of course, they had some, you could kind of see each other's personalities early on, but she's a little bit more conniving, like she's turning that way.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Versus Tommy's always had, you know, things that he's been into. He's always been a streets dude. So her just trying to get into his business right now, that's, you know, that hasn't always been the case. So,
well, think about it. Like, because I was wondering one of the scenes where she came in, he was home, and she came in, and I thought, at the end, and I thought, where is she coming from? Work? Wait, no, she don't work. She doesn't work anymore. So, you know, she started off the show as a bottle service girl. Bottle service girl.
Yeah.
You know, and she doesn't need that anymore. So, of course, like, it's, again, this power-hungry thing. Once you get a taste of it, now it's like, wait a minute, you're going to keep me in this, right?
Yes.
You're going to keep me in this. And she's really sinking her claws in to make sure he's so wrapped up. Now, I think that ending moment,
mm-hmm.
it was like, no, I'm your family. You're going to do it for me
because
I'm your family now. And he's seems to be into that.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm defending her again one more time, but I actually paused the TV to see what the amount of the check was. It was for $900,000.
Mm.
So with that being said,
how'd you see that?
I paused it. Yeah, I paused.
I was curious. When she
held the check up, her finger was on the dollar amount, but the way it was written out, you can see that it said $900,000 and it had Tommy's name.
Wow.
So with that being said, $900,000 and I don't have a job? Shit.
But again, okay, so
$900,000, I would be like, where, you know, when we gonna spend that check if I don't have a job?
But okay, so let's say, no, this was my problem with Holly. Holly took the check and went to the bank like it was a check for $15 that she got. Like, you're taking a check for $900,000 to the bank and you didn't know you needed ID, password, PIN number. She was like, I just don't understand. Holly, it's $900,000. So my thing is,
but you know, she never deposited that much before, so maybe she didn't.
I was like, Holly's never deposited anything. She's never been to the bank.
I didn't know. I just be running right to the bank. Like,
so even if I want at some point to Tommy, well, we know now Tasha is coming in to teach Holly, but Holly has to understand the level of crime she's dealing with. Because I feel like, yes, she was just riding along with Tommy and it was like a thrill for her and she knew he was a street dude and sold drugs, but now I want her to actually see and learn and understand what it is, because at some point I think that's gonna simmer Holly down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
When she knows what's at stake, Because right now it seems like she's just still in it for the ride.
And you have, and also you have to remember, when you think about her for season two, Holly gets off. Go back to doing season two when with her and Angela, and she had some kind of past and another thing that got off. Like, she is this entitled white girl who seems to get off and get her way all the time. So until she dies, which I think she will, sorry, until she dies or 10 final finale, until she dies or she, like, until she, it's going to take something very difficult for her to be able to get it, because she always gets off. And she's with this guy Tommy who kind of chastises her, but then he makes up. He doesn't ever put her out. So, like, mm-hmm. you can't blame... Oh, God, I can't believe I'm defending this woman. But you can't... I can't blame Holly for her actions when she keeps getting what she wants.
Okay, well... Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
That was not my intention. I really want to drag her, but I had to play devil's advocate.
Well, I kind of even go further back. I think season one, or is it season two, where she was in the house and she stole the earrings?
That was one. Yeah,
okay, so right. Let's take it back to...
Tasha forgave her.
Well, okay.
She got
that's
away.
That's yeah. a really good point that yeah. you bring up. But I'm looking at it as more of like she has this envious type of thing going on with Tasha. Remember how she looked at Tasha and how she saw... Like, remember how... infatuated she was. She uh-huh. walked into the house. She yeah, was like, whoa,
she
like
wants this. That life.
She uh-huh. wants that life, and she wants to be about it like Tasha was about it for Ghost.
Yeah.
So now she wants to even bring Tasha in. Like, you
Wait,
know,
what do you guys think of that? That was
a twist for me.
Well, what I think is, well, you go first.
I mean, it had to happen at some point, because if Ghost and Tasha were hand in hand and Tasha was his right hand man and Ghost leaves, the only option is to slot somebody in who knows things just like her, especially the Artie family. Him and Ghost, with the segment in the beginning where he was like checking his phone, they're like in a relationship, like they're together. You can't, he was losing sleep because he hadn't talked to his friend. So mm-hmm. Tasha is the only other option to bring in. He had to. At mm-hmm. some, you had to. They can't mm-hmm. stay apart for that long.
I think it's a great, excuse me, I think it's a great idea that she is coming in. But see, this is the problem. This is where Holly is going to die, because she doesn't know, she doesn't know what she's dealing with. You know, she, first of all, she underestimated Tasha. She thought that she was this girl who just likes to spend and go shopping and buy Gucci things, yeah. not knowing that she actually went to school for accounting yeah. and that she's really smart and she knows her shit.
I love that. And I love that they brought that out.
And, yeah. and I love how they brought that out. So now you think a girl who is a ride or die girl who's probably killed people before, so you think that you're going to bring Tasha in, teach you things, and then you're going to kick her to the ground without her keeping money for herself? Or like, she is way over her head to think that you're just going to have Tasha just help do the books, that you're just going to learn this easy, and that you're just going to kick her to the ground. Girl, please.
She plays it so well, though.
She does. Yeah.
Lucy Walter, yeah. I mean, she's a friend of mine. And I'm not just saying because she's a friend of mine. I think she's so good because she's so sweet. And then to see that on screen, it's like, ooh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people really hate her, man.
Yeah.
Like, I know. When she was a guest, I think it was last season, she was a guest.
Really?
She was, yeah, she's so sweet. And she was like, people hate my character. But, you know, I was just like, I know, but it's not you. And I mean, of course, she gets that. But, you know, that I've always wondered about that. You know, people who play these roles that the public hates, and then you're nothing like that in person, you know, and then people are walking down the street, they're like, I hate you,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
Well, what about you, Adam? Because Cantos isn't the nicest person.
No,
so do fans interact with you? Like,
you know, in all honesty, I just walking in the door here, somebody stopped me, and the fans have been so gracious and sweet to me.
Really?
I was in North Carolina last week, and I got stopped at the gym by this older couple, and like, and then they grab me and, we love you. It's always like with such, you know, and I'm sure people hate me too. I hate Cantos as well. I mean, I try to avoid reading it, but I've read some of the things. And I always go, this is about Cantos, not me. This is about Cantos, not Adamos. But, you know, but it's for the most part, when I run into people, they know who I am. They like embrace it. I love you, man. You're great. I love you in Ghost relationship. I'm like, James. But so yeah, it's been great, you know. But I know there is hate for Cantos as well. But I got my protectors out there, my fans.
Right, yes.
My crazy awesome fan Felicia. She'll defend me to the end. No, but you know, so I know that that's there. Mm-hmm. But I think you know, when you read that stuff, you think, all right, cool. I'm glad something's happened. I'm glad there's a reaction, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. It's not like get Adam Huss off the show. It's like, oh, I can't stand Kantos, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. Whenever you can drive someone to a pure, like, emotion like that, and you can get something like that out of them, I think you're doing a fantastic job. I mean, that's just to say as an artist, you know, you must be doing a great job to drive that type of emotion.
That's what I tell myself anyway, to feel better about it. Yeah, no, but that's nice to say. And really, you know, that's how you have to look at it. You have to think, okay, they are passionate about it because you've convinced them that you're this guy.
You know? Other than just be indifferent. You know what I mean? Because you could just be indifferent. Like, okay. Because
I don't pimp out my bottle service girls in real life, so it's not me at all. You know? Yeah.
You sure? Yeah. Not this way, Adam. Okay.
What was you guys' take on the fact that Tommy couldn't kill Ghost?
Of course he can't. That's his brother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's his brother.
I know, but because they'll ask, well, what did you guys... You guys didn't mention that. So I have to I have to ask the question because they will give us the business if we don't discuss it. But I think it's brain... It's not really anything to discuss. The fact that, you know, we know that he wasn't going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
But it is affecting his business. It's affecting his business. And, you know, if he doesn't do this, if he doesn't take Ghost out, then his distributor. So,
well, now I know, and that's why now he's there. Yeah. He's telling her, we're in danger, we're gonna die. That was awesome.
I mean, there's the two things, because I always think about the streets when it comes to this show, because that's what it's based on, right? But there's two things that really, really mean something in the streets, which is family and money, mm-hmm. like your business and, you know, your reputation, but that kind of is involved in the business, right? So, like, here he is faced with both, you know, your family and your money, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, your business. So I just think that that's a very interesting scene and a very interesting, you know, kind of thing that came up with them, just that he can't do it. He's sort of torn in between both. So I don't know.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got.
I think it shows his that, yeah, you're right. And it is both of those things. And he's so hardcore on the street. Mm-hmm. But that is his family. That's who he is. That's his, you know, that's his heart in a way, you know, in a big way. So he said, like, we go way back. I can't, you know?
And I have a question. So when Tommy went on his, when he was having his little cocaine moment, which I think is, if you're going to be a big drug dealer, you should not be using your own product, but whatever. he mentioned to Julio, he said something that when he beat up the other guy, he says, you know, this should have been you whose ass I beat for talking to Ghost. How did Tommy know that?
I mean, I kind of just glossed over it and took it in stride, considering the fact that we learned that Ghost brought Julio in. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it could have been a bunch of things.
Didn't he say to him on the roof something like, you need to make up with him or something like that? Didn't he say something?
It was something,
like,
maybe, yeah.
But Julio did go to the club, and he but I just wondered how
Tommy knew.
Okay, well, speaking of the club, let's go into Dre, Ghost, Andy Albee, and DJ Taj. Dre says that he doesn't like being in out of the loop. Dre is really wants something to do. He really wants to go back into the street. So a couple of questions that I have is why do you guys think Dre have Ghost's back so hard, and he seems to be willing to kill a man or anybody simply because he wants to ride or die for Ghost? Do you guys find that to be a little odd, or is he just trigger happy?
I think he idolizes Ghost in a way. He wanted to be Ghost. He didn't necessarily want to be James or Jamie, but when he looked at Ghost, he saw Ghost was still running the streets. He was dressed, he was sharp, he was on point. He wanted to be that. He saw himself in Ghost. So he, in his mind, he's like, if Ghost got a problem, then I got a problem, because I respect you and what you're doing, because later on when I'm you, I would want somebody to have my back the same way. So I just took it as, it's not weird, but that's the code.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You look out for people.
He's proven himself, you know, like, because last season he was with Kanan, and then he showed his loyalty to Ghost. And now it's like, hey, you can let me in even more. You know, mm-hmm. come on, tell me. I want to know. Who's that on the phone? What's the card about? He wants in. Mm-hmm. He wants to prove himself.
And he did say when he mentioned about him seeing the cards, you know, he said he saw the same card when he was in jail having something to do with the Mexican mafia. And he was like, if you get a card like that, you're in trouble. And then he goes, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, what you need done, I'll get it done.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a pretty powerful for him to say that. Do you guys think that Ghost is foolish for thinking Dre can handle getting contracts signed and just getting into this whole new legal world?
I think it's kind of foolish, but that's the only way Dre's gonna learn. It's kind of like the intern. You can't babysit the intern. You gotta let the intern do actual work, and if they mess up, yeah, it's gonna blow back. But my thing is, Ghost needs to understand, or Jamie needs to understand, that Dre doesn't want to do this. Dre wants to do the street stuff. So he's not going to really put his all into getting contracts signed. And he's not going to put his all into making connections at the club. He wants to sell dope.
Yeah.
So you can have him do stuff, but that's not what he wants to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, first of all, I love the role that Dre is. I just love his role, and mm-hmm. I love that it's kind of evolving a little bit more. I will say that... Ghost, remember, he's like, because Dre is like, listen, what do you want me to do? Like, let's go. And he's like, go downstairs and like check with the security, you know, that type of thing. So I don't necessarily think it's foolish, because he didn't put his life in Dre's hands yet. He just said, here, go get these contracts signed, which to me is a little easy to do, you know. But I don't know.
He did lose the, you know, because he didn't get the contract signed, he wound up losing the DJ, and the DJ now goes over to Andy and Albie, which causes a problem.
Yeah, but it's not that big of a problem. I'm just saying, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it's that huge. That's just that's just my opinion. But this is just another Robin opinion. I think it's interesting that Dre seems to be parallel with Holly's storyline. Mm-hmm. I need to find out more. Help me. I want to be part of this. We're family. You know, I just...
Everybody wants to be in the game.
Yeah, everybody wants to be in.
Do you guys smell trouble with Dre going back to the hood, spilling info that he runs three clubs, and that these fools just so happen to mention that they want to rob the club?
Yeah, that's gonna turn into something, in my opinion. You don't give somebody something, you don't give us something like that, and I use it. And then I still too think low key Dre is going to link back up with Kanan. As soon as Kanan comes back looking like Freddy Krueger, he is going to be down with Kanan.
Well, and Kanan hangs out at that joint, right? So if he does come back, and if that does happen, then those guys can give him the information. So I don't know anything, so I'm just guessing.
I did notice the goons didn't mention that no one has seen Kanan, and then the look on Dre's face when he just kind of turned his head to the left makes me wonder, does he know any whereabouts of Kanan?
Or was he just looking over his shoulder like,
right.
But really quickly, okay, I'm really, really curious to know, how did you get this great job playing this character? What was the audition process like?
Oh man, it is a great job, and it was an amazing experience when it happened. And I auditioned just like anybody else would. I auditioned for a couple different roles, and I felt something about it. You know, when I remember putting the audition side that said power on it, like they write it on there on a corkboard in my kitchen, and thinking like, there's something about this one. And then didn't hear, so I took it off, threw it out. And then, like, I remember end of the week or whatever, the week later, I got called back for a different part. And it said, Josh Cantos from Massapequa. And I'm like a couple cities over, towns over from that in Long Island. I'm from Islip. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. So then I was like, this is mine. Now, it was a longer process than that, but I got to give it up to Courtney Kemp, who was in the room and saw me a bunch of times. Or saw me and the final callback when I finally went in, and she said, I said something about my accent, because I had a very strong Long Island accent that I pulled back a lot over the years. And I remember I said to her, I said, yeah, I'm from Long Island, but I always have to hide it. And she's like, well, you don't have to hide it anymore. Meaning for this, but she didn't say if I got it or not. Yeah. And then it was another week or so of waiting, and then when I got the call, I freaked out.
Wow.
I think I was doing like a web series for $20. And I got the call that morning, and I was like, I finished the web series, but I was just freaking out.
It was like, bye.
And I had to leave in a week to go to New York. So it's pretty cool, pretty fast.
I have to be nosy and ask, what were some of the other characters that you went out for?
Oh man, I don't want to say because they all do such a great job. I don't want to say, but there's a couple other roles.
And, okay, yeah, that's fair.
That are on the show and they own it, and they, mm-hmm. I couldn't see anybody else playing that role. Okay.
So. And I can't see anybody else playing Kanto. So no, I mean, you're perfect for that position.
Thank you.
You are, but I can totally see you going out for a couple other roles. Yeah, but I'll.
Who? We'll,
I can see Greg.
Greg.
Nope.
Greg, I know. And Mike.
Because we look alike. People always call me
Greg
Andy.
And Mike. Yeah.
Nah, no, no.
I see Kanto.
Mike wasn't around yet. Yeah.
Nah, no. I ain't doing it with y'all.
And you have a rough side. I could totally see it maybe if you auditioned for maybe like Julio or someone else's part. But I'm not.
Yeah, all right. There was a little bit of something. You're getting cold. Warmer. Okay. Warmer.
If you picked up on it, because I think there. Well, we know that there's another side to Kanto's, and I'm just curious what's going to unfold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do we see it? Like if he comes back, do we see that unfold? You know, that mm-hmm. side of him. That so now he's so. You know, he's always put together, but mm-hmm. I'd be down to see the other side.
Mm-hmm. And so you are a reoccurring?
Yes.
Okay, so you're reoccurring.
Well, I mean, as
well,
of
at
now,
least for seasons one and two,
I was a series regular.
Okay.
Yeah. Now I'm, you know, mm-hmm. if I come back, I'd yeah. be reoccurring.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so, how far in advance did you get your script or any information regarding season three?
How far in advance? Usually depends, you know. Mm-hmm. Usually they'll let me know a couple of weeks ahead of time.
Okay.
And then, you know, because I got to get there.
Yeah.
Now, so just something really quickly. I wanted you to touch on this because let's talk about Adam for just a quick second.
Yeah.
Your Twitter, it's your profile is so awesome to me. And I just really, if you can briefly
Thanks.
Talk about it. It just says, dance from the depths of your soul. The body can only move with beauty when the soul is free.
Yeah, that's a quote that it's Martha Graham, I believe. I might be quoting the wrong person, but it was from my acting teacher, Risa Brayman Garcia, who's also casting director for Masters of Sex and a million other amazing movies. And when I read that, it's a lesson I try to remind myself of every day. Like, It was said to someone who was like, dance, because like when you don't dance from here, you're not all you, you know. And I can get caught up in that, and it's becoming a thing of the past, thankfully. But where I'm not dancing from here, it totally stifles me in every way. So I leave that there on my page and on my Instagram and it's on my Facebook as a reminder to myself.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah.
Speaking of dance, Thanks. you were in a musical called Waiting in the Wings.
Yes. And a sequel.
Do you sing or dance? Or?
I do. Yeah, I sing and I kind of dance. I think I have to learn. I got to learn the moves. But anyone who watches this who really knows me, knows, like, yeah, right. But I can learn choreographed dancing. I just need some time.
Okay.
But I did start taking like a swing class a couple weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
I'm really loving it. Yeah.
Very nice.
Nice. Yeah.
A little Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That would be fun.
My mom would die. My mom would be so excited. My mom loves Dancing with the Stars.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, besides obviously a great actor, you sing a little bit, you dance, and you also write. You're a screenplay writer, and so you have this project out called Let It Kill You, which you are currently seeking funding. So please let everyone know what that's about.
Thank you for mentioning that. It's a transformative horror / love story, and it's a werewolf movie. Mm-hmm. And I love horror films, and I wanted to tell a story that was sort of an unconventional love story within the horror genre and sort of help expand minds a little bit beyond the typical. You know, I think now we're in this place, especially what's been happening in the last couple of mm-hmm. whatever for like the world and the world, mm-hmm. where like the world is ready for different things.
Yeah.
And I think even Power was an example of that, right? Mm-hmm. Like it got people to say like, "Hey, there's an audience for this. We want, you know, like we want to see shows like this." Mm-hmm. And so this was important for me because I felt like it was a genre that. I love it, but sometimes it's so shallow, and I wanted to infuse like this unconventional love story within this story. But it is scary and gory and all this stuff. But I wanted to really amp it up so people can go and sort of get a little lesson in there. So I can't tell you too much. I'm trying to leave it as a mystery. Mm-hmm. But if you want more information, you go to www.letitkillyoumovie.com,
okay.
and you can see a concept trailer. And we got our first big investor. So we're just waiting for a little bit more, and hopefully we'll be shooting soon.
Yeah. Wow. Congratulations. That's
thank
awesome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Do you produce or direct as well?
Well, this will be my, I associate produce something once called Find Me, which is on Amazon, but this is my first producing gig, and it is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. That's all I'll say. You don't stop. You just constantly are like trying to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's happening.
It'll happen.
You are out there doing it.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, guys. You know, they say you got to take your career into your own hands. You can't just sit
around.
Right. And
yeah.
So I'm one of those people who I always want to be moving into it, and I love the business. I love what I do. So I thought, all right, Power gave me time to write it. Now I'm going to get it made. So,
ooh, love it. Yeah.
And before we go into news and gossip and predictions, you have a film right now that's available on Netflix called Paradox, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Paradox. It's a time travel movie. I play sort of like a guy who goes back in time, and it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. There's more than one of me in the movie. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
Yeah. This was Zoe Bell. She was in Quentin Tarantino's Grindhouse films, and she was just in his last film, The Hateful Eight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she plays my girlfriend. She's great. And it's a really great experience.
Very cool.
Thank you.
And now let's go quickly into news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Well, Power, which I think is the best show on TV, yes, has been picked up for season 4 and 5. And it broke records with the premiere.
Yes.
It had 2.3 million viewers, which is the biggest premiere for Stars.
Yep.
And it was ranked number one overall for cable.
That's amazing.
On Sunday.
Huge.
So cool.
Huge.
I remember after the first season, I would watch every time after the first season, like every time an episode aired, like what the ratings were. Mm-hmm. I was wanting it so bad for everybody. Like, come on, I know this thing is special. We have to see it. And now to just see it keep growing, it's unbelievable. Last season, that first episode was the biggest Stars. And now it's doubled that. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So happy for everybody involved.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We have such a special connection with Power. All of us do. Mm-hmm. I think even with meeting Courtney, you know, we have several people who've come in. Yeah, yeah, she's been a guest. And there's just I think we're all just really, really rooting for it.
Yeah.
Besides, it really is, I think, one of the greatest shows on television right now. So
I agree.
Yeah.
Today was the first time I watched it on my phone at the gym. I usually like watch it at home. Mm-hmm. And it was like the best show to watch on the treadmill. Yeah. And I was just like, oh man, I'm so into it.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it.
Yeah,
I'll have to do that because I'm at the gym and I'll have to try that.
It helps.
Let's go into predictions.
Is there supposed to be a sound for that?
AfterBuzz TV prediction.
Yeah, it's okay. So I have a lot of predictions, but I'll let you go first.
I just believe that I think Holly is going to try to get like Tasha. I think Holly's going to try to become a Tasha, maybe like on top of things. I mean, maybe before she dies, before she dies, I think she's going to just try to pull some moves and try to pull some rank. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's what I have.
That's good. Adam, do you have any predictions? Or can you predict anything safely?
I probably can. I think Greg and Angela are going to get back together. That's what I think.
Oh, man.
I'll just make some bogus stalking her.
He's in her basement right now.
Right.
He's in the closet.
Tariq, he's in there.
Yeah, Tariq's
like, hey, what are you doing back here? I predict, one, Tariq is going to do some serious damage with this gun. I'm not sure with who or how, but it's Angela's gun. It's hers. Whatever damage happens with the gun is going to fall back on her. And I think that might be the piece that kind of blows Angie and Jamie up.
That's good.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Not the actual damage, but what's going to happen surrounding that. Tasha, I feel like, is now going to invest and do the books with Lakeisha's weave shop because they didn't take us to her weave shop and she didn't get asked to do the books for no reason. So I think the Tommy money is now going to shift towards Lakeisha.
Ooh, that's good.
It is.
Look at who's on
it. I watched it.
That's a really good point. Because that did strike something when she said that, and then I thought, oh, yeah.
And so now they sold the laundromats, the wash and folds, somewhere. The money has to go somewhere. So
that's
I think it's going to go with Lakeisha.
Good.
That is a great prediction, and and what I'll say regarding the Keisha situation is, I think we're going to see more. I'm with you on that scenario, and I think we're going to see more of Keisha, which means Keisha doesn't like Holly, and so there's going to be drama between Keisha and potentially Holly, with the fact of Tasha, you know, later down the road, who I think may get into it with her, because, you know, Holly thinks she's going to just bring Tasha in and just move her out. And if in fact the business is at the weave shop, it's going to be much harder to then get rid of Tasha. I think Angela, I think she's going to get arrested and face possibly go on trial to go to federal prison, because I think that she's too I won't say why, but I think Angela will potentially face prison. Because with the whole thing with Turtle from
Turtle,
Proctor, he said to Jamie, it's gonna be between you, your girlfriend, or your life, and yeah. So that struck a chord. So I think we're rapping.
Okay.
So I think I'm just letting him know we're rapping.
Yeah.
So I think Angela is gonna be on trial. Will she actually go to a federal prison? Probably not. Somebody has to get pregnant. There's too much unprotected sex, and I already say. There's something about Natari's character. Oh. She looks a little pregnant, so I think somebody has to get pregnant before the end of the season.
Oh,
and then,
man.
I will continue to say that Kantos and Greg are going to become bosom buddies. And then Tariq, I already said Tariq, and then Dre is going to go in with the goons, and they're going to try and rob the club.
Last thing that I'm going to say, and I'll leave it here. I think that if Holly dies, it's going to be Tommy who kills her. She might be put in a position where she's trying to, like, kill Ghost or something, and he kills Holly over Ghost.
Yep.
Oh, I like that.
I'm going with that, too.
Might be it.
I like that. Oh, and then my final thing before we wrap and give and do outros, the fact that allegedly this a Kanan situation may come back if it's not a dream. I feel something coming with that, and so I think that Tariq, because you said that he's going to be in danger, Kanan may take little Tariq out.
He or may take Tariq under his wing.
Ooh,
or that.
And Kantos is coming back.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's my other prediction. Oh, Kantos is coming back.
You're absolutely coming back.
He's coming back.
He's getting revenge on Ghost.
He's coming back. Like
Mr. Adam, wow. Thank you so much.
Can you let everyone
in this camera know where you could be found on all social media?
Yes, you can find me at Adam T. Huss on Twitter and Instagram. And I also have a Facebook page, but I do not know the Adam's
just search Adam T. Huss.
You can find me. Yeah. But thank you guys. And thank you to my fans. I love them. And this has been such an amazing experience. I'm so grateful to Courtney A. Kemp for changing my life.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's awesome. You guys can find me at Robin Ayers on all of my social media platforms.
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Canelia.
And you can find me on all social media at Bam Erickson. We want to thank our guest, Mr. Adam Huss, who plays Mr. Kantos on Power Season 3.
My pleasure.
Wow. Thank you guys so much. There's a lot more in store. There's a lot more guests. Thank you guys again. And thank you to our guests. We'll see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Awesome.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.